Thank you. Good morning and welcome to South Bay Bible Church. We are so happy to have you here. Our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. To do that, we've created a place where you belong, an environment filled with warm people, growing relationships, and relevant and encouraging messages for everyday life. If you're a first-time guest here, thank you for joining us. We're so glad you're here, and we have a gift for you. If you did not receive one on your way in, please be sure to pick one up when the service is over. If you're a parent, we've created great environments with your kids in mind. Our nursery is for your newborn to four-year-old kids. It is located upstairs and is available 15 minutes before the start of the service. Please be sure to check your kids in before you head on upstairs. For kindergarten to fifth grade students, we've created Kids Club. Whether it's through lessons, games, art projects, or talking with the group, each week our kids are learning practical teachings about loving God and loving others. Kids Club meets upstairs after the worship. If you didn't check your kids in already, please be sure to do so when they are dismissed in about 20 minutes. Our youth group Empowered is for middle and high school students and meets on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. There they'll build relationships and have fun with learning messages that apply to them. Our adult services meet here in the sanctuary and last approximately 75 minutes. You can expect some great songs and relevant and encouraging messages for your everyday life. Last but not least, we have fellowship time between services. Join us for coffee. We'd love to meet you. If you'd like some more information about us, you can ask a welcome team member, visit our website, or check us out.
The Lord just heals and recovers you quickly. For now, let's go ahead and stand together as we worship the Lord.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. T'was grace that taught my heart. My fears relieved. the seas that grace appears. The hour I first believed, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. Goodbye, you call me here below, will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been saved. Amazing grace, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, He's ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
My name is Kelly, and it is a joy to welcome you all to South Bay Bible Church. It's really great to see some new faces in here, as well as all our familiar ones. So I want to welcome everyone who's here with us in the room today. I want to welcome everybody who's watching online with us. We're so glad you tuned in. And I especially want to welcome everyone who's here with us for the first time. We love to have you come and worship with us, and it's just really exciting to see you come on in here. So we want to let you know that we do have a gift for you if you didn't already receive it when you came in. There's a book called The Case for Christ, and there's a welcome packet with tons of information about South Bay and what's happening around here and what we believe and all that. So if you didn't receive one already, you can get one on your way out. And everyone should have received your bulletin on the way in. And so I'm just going to kind of walk us through that. As you're pulling that out, if you are watching online, you can check in with us. If you're on our website, you can check the weekly check-in button. If you're on Facebook, you can click the link in the chat. And if you're watching on your TV, you can text check in to the number on the screen. And all of these links will bring you to the bulletin I just mentioned and the communication card. Not the communication card. You don't need that because you're checking in online. But all of our other sermon notes and resources. So everyone in the room, if you wouldn't mind pulling out your communication card. And I would love it if everyone who's in the room would fill out your name and your email address and any updated information, anything that we don't have already, so we can communicate with you. We want to make sure we have a good email address and a good phone number.
in case we have anything we, you know, urgent prayer requests, things like that, so we can reach you right away. And then on the back of that card, there's a section for comments, prayer requests. If you are in need of prayer or know someone who's in need of prayer, you can write down as much or as little information as you'd like. But we do have a prayer team, a large group of people that receives these prayer requests in our email boxes, and we start lifting you up right away in prayer. So, and then there are also going to be a few boxes with some events happening. If I mentioned to check something off, that's where that would happen. So we do have a very big, exciting announcement. If you didn't hear it the last time, next weekend, June 12th, at our 9 and 11 o'clock services, we have Friend Sunday. So that's when we invite our friends and family, and we celebrate with our friends and family, and we worship alongside them. A few things to note about next week. We won't have fellowship in between the services because we're going to have a nice catered lunch after the 11 o'clock service. And just so you know, these services will all be outside. So we know it's going to be beautiful weather. So come ready for that. So just be inviting and, you know, just let everyone you know that that's where you'll be next Sunday and that they can join in for lunch. We are in need of some helpers to help set up and prepare for this event. So if you're interested in helping out on Saturday, and if you're available, Saturday, June 11th at 10 a.m., please mark your communication card so that we know how many people are going to be helping to prepare for that. And then the last fun bit of information next week is some of our Holly friends will be here celebrating with us. So it's always nice to have friends from out of town joining us, right? So I'd love to welcome you all with a verse. It's from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. So let's pray together. Father, what a gift that you call us your sons and your daughters. And that's why we come together today to worship you and to praise you and to just be in the presence of our Heavenly Father and just soak it all in. We love you so much, and we can't think of a greater gift than to be the children of God. Father, I pray that you would just bless this time together, bless our fellowship, and just be with us. Let us feel your presence today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us?
I'm excited to sing this next song. We introduced this song just a couple of weeks ago to you, to our church family. And so we're going to sing this out. But before we do, I just want to remind you, how many of you know what today is? Aside from Sunday, aside from June 5th, what is today? What is it? It's Pentecost Sunday. That's right. That's right. And so on the church calendar this year, Pentecost Sunday falls on June 5th. And so on Pentecost, we remember the Holy Spirit, who has come to be with us, who has come to dwell in us, to lead us, to form us, to empower us for ministry. And we remember what we read about in Acts 2, that the disciples of Jesus were waiting in a room to be sent out, empowered for mission. And Jesus sent his promised Holy Spirit to come down on them and to send them out. And so we remember the presence of the Spirit here among us this morning as the family of believers, and that the presence of God meets us here so that he can send us out there. But we invite him this morning. We invite God's presence to just fill the room today, to be with us, to comfort us, to challenge us, to move us, to form us. And we say, Lord, one day the world will know you are God. You are King. And it'll be because the presence of God moved God's people out. And so that's what we sing about in this song, King of Glory.
yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we wait? King of glory, fill this place. I just wanna be. Just wanna be with you, King of glory. Fill this place. I just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. Yes, the world bow down and say you are God.
Thank you.
music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's a word that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
Come on.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the it's all about you. Yes, it is all about you, Jesus, King of endless world. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have, every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You said, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Jesus,
come on, church.
It's all about you.
It's all about
you. It's all about you.
Yes, Lord. Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, yes, it is
all about you.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, when it's all about. It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus. Every bit of it. It's the reason we gather this morning. It's the reason we sing. It's the reason why we woke up early on a Sunday morning to be here. It's all about you, Jesus. The only one worthy. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us and you're for us. God, we worship you. Thank you for your church, Lord, the people of God gathered around one name. Lord, the very cornerstone, the very foundation of the church, Jesus Christ, his salvation. His redemption. The truth that, Lord, he has bought us with his own blood. Lord, we remember that now, together as the people of God in communion. Church, you can go ahead and take a seat as we just prepare ourselves for communion. Let's just remain in a spirit of prayer. Focus our attention on the Lord. Let's just focus on the Lord. This is the love of God demonstrated for us in Christ Jesus. That he was crushed for our iniquities, bruised for our transgressions. And in his anguish, we were given peace. For God so loved the world. I love what another translation says, that God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only son, so that all who believe in him would not die, but that they would live forever. That is the promise. But it's all because of what has been done in Christ Jesus. His sacrificial death, dying in our place so that we may live. And so we who have believed and trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, we sit together and we're going to take communion. So you don't have to be a member of South Bay. You don't have to have come here 2 times or 200 times. As long as you have placed your faith in Christ, you can take communion with us this morning. That's the one thing that unites us all with the churches across the world, is communion. And so let's just sit and think on the Lord. If there's anything that you want to bring before him before we take communion together, you'll have this moment to do it. Let's just focus on the Lord together. And so we remember our Lord Jesus Christ, the night that he was betrayed, sitting over a meal with his disciples, takes up the bread and he breaks it. And he says that every time that you break this bread together, you will remember my body, which is broken for you. If you haven't already, you can grab the communion cup in the chairs in front of you. Let's take the bread and let's break it together. Let's take the bread and break it together and let's eat that together, remembering the body which has been broken for us. You can take and eat at this time. And on that same night, he took up the cup. And he said that every time my people take this cup together, they will remember my blood, which is to be shed for them, for their sins. Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so we thank the Lord that he has shed his blood on our behalf. Let's take the cup and drink it together. You can put the cups back where you found them. You can sing this with me. It's all about you.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Come on, I'm coming back to the heart.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. So as I said before, I'm not going to be bringing us the word this morning. We actually have someone who has come to share the scripture with us today, and I'm actually really excited. This has been planned for a long time, this visit. And so how many of you are familiar with Long Island Youth Mentoring? Yes, awesome, awesome. So many of you may not be familiar with Long Island Youth Mentoring. I'm actually not going to tell you about it. I'm going to allow Vince to tell you about it. But Vince Eppolito is here today to share the word with us today. He's going to preach from Romans 12, so you can be preparing for that. But then he's going to share with you a little bit about the ministry. Long Island Youth Ministry is is a incredible ministry that we get to partner with as a church. We've been partnering with them for years, and they have an incredible mission that they are on. And so I'm going to, again, allow Vince to share that with you. But let's turn to Romans 12, And let's just prepare for the word to be shared with us today. And let's give a big South Bay welcome to Vince Eppolito.
Good morning. So I got to look this way and that way. Okay, I'm ready. Thank you so much for having me, Pastor Matt. I really appreciate being here. Kathy works with me at Long Island Youth Mentoring, and we always say we get to do this. We get to talk about what God's doing. We get to be involved in what He's doing. And you guys already have like four mentors going on, which is pretty cool for a church this side. Four mentors at a meeting with kids, which you're going to tell you about later, and Rob and Carlos and Kelly, and of course Kathy, who just keeps matching herself. I'm not sure why, but she does have enough. But I'm going to read from you from Matthew 12 in a minute. But I would just like to start with a joke, not just because Joel Osteen does it, just because it gives us a chance to catch our breath. Joke has nothing to do with the message, just so you know, because you're trying to look to put it together. It's not really going to work out. So I like to play golf, and it's perfect golf time of year. And there's three guys playing golf. There's an old guy, there's Moses, and there's Jesus. And they're playing golf. So Jesus hits the ball. It goes straight up in the air, goes right to the pond, grows little feet, and it walks across the pond, and it jumps up right onto the hole, right next to the hole. Right, the next guy, Moses, gets up. He hits the ball. Whack! It goes straight for the pond again. So Moses bangs his golf club on the ground. The water's split. It bounces on dry ground, and it goes right next to the hole. And then the old guy gets up, and he hits the ball, and it goes straight up in the air, and it's headed towards the pond, except a bird comes by and grabs it, drops it into the pond, a fish swallows it, goes to the end of the pond, and a fish spits it out, and it rolls right into the hole. And Moses said to Jesus, "I hate playing with your dad." It's a good golf joke, right? So it's a claim. Kathy's nodding her head because she's heard it a few times. But let's read from Romans 12, and we'll go from there. So starting at verse number 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think soberly, as God dealt each one of you a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us minister, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy, do so with cheerfulness." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about me so you know where I'm coming from. Is that, you know, I say this and people think it's pretty interesting, but I wasn't always saved. None of us were always saved. But I lived on the South Shore of Long Island. First, we moved from Brooklyn, and we did the Exodus, like many of us do. We start in Brooklyn, we move to Nassau, we move further out. And as a young person, I came from a broken family, and I made the wrong choices until I was 33 years old. And I banged my head on every bad decision branch that there was. And when I was 33 years old, I found myself in a tough place, you know, being no car, no license, no job, and a healthy substance abuse issue. And then the Lord kind of just touched me one day, and I just felt like there was a small glimmer of hope. It was only by His grace, because nothing had happened that particular day to change my mind. It's just that something happened in my spirit. He said, "There is a better way for you." And I began to seek Him and follow Him, and He turned my life around. And within a couple of years, I was serving Him full time. And that all became out of one thing, out of just the fact that I could not believe that God died for me. I could not believe that He loved me that much. So that's going to be part of this, you know. And I would say if there was a title to this, you know, Romans 12, is the serving Christian. But I would say we're all saved to serve. You know, I know you guys use the term servant evangelism, community evangelism. That's what we're here for. You know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is one of the things that helped me get sober, they use this thing, you can't keep it unless you give it away. Now, we can keep it, but we're called to give it away. This is a gift. So I think about how I came into ministry. Now, I was a chef, and then I had to quit the chefing business because it was just not a good place for a guy who was trying to get clean. So I did landscaping and worked really, really hard, and I'm really happy about that because I really appreciate not having to do landscaping now when I work in an office, which is a lot better than pushing a mower all day, especially because I'm not that young. But I was just so excited about being saved all the time, I could not stop talking about it. I think that that's why the Lord called me into ministry, because it didn't matter whether I was landscaping, working on a garbage truck, or being in the kitchen, I was going to share him with other people, because it was just that exciting. So in Matthew 20:28, it says, just the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life for the ransom of many. That's what we're called to do too. We're called to give our lives, the things that we want, not our, the life and death, go to heaven part, but the things that we do and what are our practices. In verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A lot of times we use the scripture version, we talk about purity with teenagers, which is really important. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit and everything. But, you know, I have an expression that I share at my church in Medford is that, we're not only supposed to just tithe our money, we're supposed to tithe our time. You know, Kathy and I work in full-time ministry, and sometimes people say, well, why are you getting involved in all this stuff at your church when you're in ministry all day, every day? It's because that's what I'm called to do. It's my home church. This is your home church. I'm supposed to involve myself in the ministry of my home church. And the part here that I really, really like is that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. You know, the New Testament comes out of the learning of the Old Testament. So I'll bring you back to the word sacrifice, is that when animals were sacrificed, they were sacrificed completely. They didn't sacrifice a part of the animal, and they actually went out of their way to pick the best animals to sacrifice. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a good sacrifice. And they were cut, they were quartered, they were bled, they were burned, and the ashes were used. Every part of it was complete. So when we think about serving, sometimes we say, well, I can give the Lord this much time. He's really calling for us to give our whole lives to him. He'll take care of the other stuff. I have an expression that I always use. If you take care of his business, he'll take care of yours. And I just get busy serving him, and my stuff has a way of working out, whether it's financially, relationally, emotionally, socially. You know, I remember when I first got saved, I was going to a Lutheran church at that point, which is the path I had to take, because just so you know, I'm a Catholic Luther Baptistal. So I started in a Catholic church. As a young person, and I kind of met the Lord there a little bit, walked away for a while, and for me to just come into a Holy Spirit-filled church would have been too big of a step. So the Lord introduced himself to me through a Lutheran church, which they still do the sit, stand, kneel thing, so I was a little bit pretty comfortable with it, you know? So, and they got me serving right away, but they had church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and Wednesday night service was great, except I had Yankee tickets, season tickets, the Wednesday-Sunday package. So I'm missing every home. During the season, I'm missing all the home games on Wednesday night. I'm missing church because I'm going to the Yankee game. I already bought the tickets. You know. And on Sunday morning, I would go to what I called the drive-through service because they had an 8, a 9:30, and 11. And the 8 was like a drive-through service. Like they flicked the communion wafer at you as you drive by. It's like one song, a couple of those, and you're out, you know. And even while I was there, I was still thinking about the traffic on the Major Deacon, where am I going to park, and you know, I was just checked out. And I really felt, and that was 1995, so and if anybody knows the history of what's happened in the Yankees a number of years, they stunk for a really long time, until 1995, when they showed real signs of turning it around, made the playoffs for the first time. So after the 95 season, I was convicted in my heart, and the Lord said, give up your Yankee tickets. So right before the 1996 season, I gave up my Yankee tickets. You know, which is, now, most of you guys know what happened in 1996. Derek Jeter came, the core four came, the Yankees won the World Series. It was amazing. That year, This is how the Lord works. When you give up your stuff for his stuff, and for me as a baseball fan, you could put whatever you feel is important in that place, but I gave up my Sunday and Wednesday package, which I paid a pretty high price for financially, but I went to 22 games that year and didn't pay for one of them. People just kept inviting me to games. Somebody even connected with another baseball organization, got to know me and my ministry, and gave me tickets to the All-Star game. And I went to the All-Star game in Orioles, and I got to meet Cal Ripken, which is a pretty famous guy, which is pretty cool. And it gets better than that. I got tickets for every playoff game. So I was at all the Yankee home playoff games, the one where the guy caught the Jeffrey Mayer game where he caught the ball. It was just amazing. And even more, because God says, you go that far, I'll go even further. Towards the end of the season, somebody called from the Yankees to my boss at Youth for Christ at the time and said, will you guys come and do a devotion for the team on Sunday morning? So I got to go into the clubhouse and pray with the players. Now, I was very young in the Lord and pretty dumbfounded because I'm standing there across from Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera and I couldn't say, well, he said, you want to close in prayer? And I was like, nothing came out. So he played. But that's how God works. If you give up, if you sacrifice him, he will make sure. You know, that's what that scripture means, is that he will give you the desires of your heart. But he also kind of assumes that the desires of your heart line up with the desires of his heart. See, for me, baseball had become secondary to sharing God's word, to sharing God's love with kids. You know, when I got sober and I finally faced the Lord and he let me know that, you know, he wasn't mad at me. So for a long time, that kept me away. I thought he was mad at me. I thought I was never going to be good enough. You know, the first one wasn't true. The second one was true. I wasn't going to be good enough, but he loved me anyway. My goodness comes through what he did on the cross. So I had to come to that term. So he continued to chase me down. And once he let me know that, I was just so excited. So I was determined to share this message with every kid. I thought for sure that God was going to use me to help kids avoid the decisions that I made, either substance abuse or just being a knucklehead. You know, and I thought I would help kids not get into substances and I would help kids get saved. And God kind of corrected me on that too. He says, you're not responsible for that part of it. You're responsible to love kids and tell them the truth about me. And why that's important is that we don't have to put the pressure on ourselves. I got to do this, that I have to have these skills. I don't have to do anything. I just have to go where God calls me to go and let him use me. And that's what presenting yourself as a living sacrifice is about. Just present yourself to the Lord. When I first came into ministry, it looked like this. I was a chef at the time when I got saved, and I was like a real chef in the city. And chefs don't sweep or clean up or do anything really, anything hard. They make a mess, they come out, some low-level guy comes over and cleans it up, and I move to a new table. So they said to me, yeah, he's got it. Just make a big mess. So I get there and they say, listen, you'll see you Wednesday night. You're going to serve at the community supper. So I'm thinking, I'm going to bless these people with my culinary skills. Because I was a saucier at the Grand Hyatt in New York City. I had skills. And I said, I'm going to bless. So I got my knife set. And I show up on the Wednesday night. And there's an old lady there named Betty Hopman. And she was in charge. She says, okay, you go in, make a right and a right and a right. And here's a key. So I said, oh, they must have an office for me, you know. So I go on, I make a right. And I'm looking. I don't see any office. She goes, no, go around. So I go to, and finally, I use the key and open up the door. It's a broom closet. And I said, that's a broom closet. It must be some mistake. He said, oh, no, you're the guy who sweeps up after we're done with community supper. And I was thinking for a second, okay, I need to humble myself and do what God has called me to do. So I began to sweep the floors. And I don't do anything. Kathy, I'll tell you, I don't do anything halfway. I'm either in or I'm not in. I'm either working really hard and fast and loud and quick, or I'm sleeping. You know, and so I got my little tool belt, had my little floor scraper, and had a little special spray and a little green pad and the freeze spray to get the gum off the carpets. And I really took pride in cleaning God's house. You know, so the community supper is closing up and the kids are there fooling around, waiting for their moms to get done cooking. And they wanted to play basketball a little bit. So I said, listen, you help me fold up these tables and chairs and clean this side of the gym. We'll play basketball until we can get to the other side. So we did that, and the four or five kids helped me do that, and then we did the other side. And then the people at the church said, you know, if you want, you could stay a little longer with the kids and let them play ball. You know, I said, okay, that's fine. So the next week, there was like 8 or 10 kids there, and we would clean up, and we would sweep the floor, and we'd have a good time. You know, being a guy that was with a Catholic and a Lutheran background, I thought at the very least we should pray in the beginning, you know, stop in the middle, and I would share with them what I was learning about the Lord that week, and at the end we would pray again. So one thing led to another, and after about a month or two, another guy came to help me out, and we had like 20 kids from the neighborhood, and we're praying at the beginning. It was like 6 months before I realized that that was a youth group, and I was the youth group leader. And it started with sweeping the floors, because they just helped me finish sweeping the floors. The next thing I know, there were 50 kids, and we have all kinds of things. We're going from 6 to 11. There's all kinds of things going on, and kids. And I still see those kids today. They're 35, 40 years old, and they scare me because they run up on me, and I have no idea who they are because they don't look like they did when they were 13. You know, but that's how God, you just present yourself as a sacrifice to you, and he will take care of it. And the next verse is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You know, it's important that we seek God's ways and God's wisdom. You know, the world has a completely different message on what we should be chasing after. You know, somebody says you should have a nice car. I have a nice car. I have a Hyundai Elantra. It gets me everywhere I want to go in it. And right now, I'm pretty happy that I get 33 miles to the gallon. You know, would I like to have a Jaguar? I'm not even sure anymore. I think it would be nice to drive one for a weekend or something. So I have a friend who let me borrow his Camaro. He keeps saying you can borrow my Camaro whenever you want. You know, but God takes care of me. And I have to seek what he wants. I can't let the world tell me this is what success looks like. You know, success for us looks like waking up, finding out what God has for me to do today, doing it, know I did it, and I go to sleep. And you know, I don't always have to ring the bell and have a kid got saved today. Most of the time in ministry, and Pastor Matt will tell you, and Kathy and Rob and the other guys around here will tell you that, you know, we pray up and we show up and we know we did what God called us to do and we know it's successful. We don't always see it. But that's what success looks like, is doing what he wants, working for our own self and trying to fill our own needs first is what the world would tell us to do. And when God says, put him first, and he will take care of everything else. And in verse 3, it says, for I say to you, for through the grace given to me, everyone among you not think of yourself more highly than he should, but think soberly as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. And there's a couple of parts is that in the beginning it says through grace. Everything we are and every gift we have comes through God's grace. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. He gave it to us. You know, so it's an important thing to know that I don't operate, you know, I drank and used drugs because I was uncomfortable with who I was, and I couldn't really be funny or stand in front of people and talk unless I had my bottle of liquid courage. And it's interesting that I do this for a living now. I just talk to people all the time now, and I'm totally okay because I'm not the one doing it. I pray, and I'm not I always, people ask me, are you a good preacher? Probably not, but I believe I'm going to get up there, let the Lord use me, and he'll speak to his people with what he wants to say. And that's true for each one of us, is that it comes from the grace. Everything we do comes from God's grace, you know, and that's an important part. The next part is to think soberly. We have to avoid sometimes when God does start to use us that we think we should be this, that, or the other thing, you know, and people should say, well, you know, you should be preaching all the time, and I should be doing whatever God called me to do. You know, Oswald Chambers says that God plants his saints where he believes they'll be useful, and they are not able to decide that for themselves. So I don't know. I would have never swept those floors unless I felt like God put me there. And I surely wouldn't come here unless I felt God sent me here. You know, and I surely wouldn't be in ministry at Youth Mentoring for as many years as I have, which is like a lot, 20, Kathy's been there for 10 and I've been there longer than that, so it's a long time, and I wouldn't do that unless God put me there. So I need to think soberly, and at no point do I get to say, you know, look at me, I'm Vince from Youth Mentoring, I'm the man. You know, it happens though, because, you know, there was a time when I first got into ministry, I thought I was a guy, you know, I'm Vince from Youth for Christ, you should take my calls, I'm special. You know, and it's not that. It's all through God's power. Once I start operating in my own power, then it gets tiring and hard and just doesn't work. So we need to think soberly. The last part of this particular verse is the measure of faith. Each one was given a measure of faith, which is an interesting term. I looked it up. It's a certain amount of faith. And I look at when we get saved, we get a certain amount of faith, a certain amount of power of the Holy Spirit, and then we're called as Christians to chase down the Lord, spend time in His Word, let other believers speak into our lives, and grow that faith and grow that power, and let the Holy Spirit take over more of who we are. So I think of us like a printer cartridge. If you ever bought a new printer, you'll know that you'll get a cartridge with it. And then you'll be frustrated about 3 weeks later when that printer with its brand new cartridge runs out of ink. Because when they give you a new printer, you only get so much ink. You get a starter cartridge. And then you got to go out and get a real cartridge. And that's kind of the way. When we get saved, we get a starter amount of faith. And then we're called to build it. And how we build it is get busy about what He's doing. Let Him work through us and in us. You know, when God's Holy Spirit works through us, a lot of that is left over. Like an extension cord. It just comes through me, but there's a lot of residual. It changes me on the way. As He comes down and gives me the power, and I share Him with other people, I get blessed, I get filled, and I grow, which is an important part. In verse 4, it says, we have many members, but not all have the same function. Everybody who serves God in any way, shape, or form is just as important as anyone else. You know what I mean? I thought about that a lot when I was sweeping the floors. If God had not raised me up to be the youth guy, then those floors would have been really important. Because what God's house looks like when people come in is important. And you know, that person, and any pastor would tell you that, you know, the person who can sing is just as important as the person that cleans the bathroom. Yeah, and any pastor that preaches will tell you that the ushers are just as important as he is. You know, because none of us could do anything without the others. So, you know, that's an important thing to understand. Our job is to figure out what it is we're supposed to do, you know, and be okay with it. And we are individuals, but we're connected to one another. We are connected to one another. We're responsible to and for one another. You know, as a family of believers, if you look at Paul's writings, all of his writings are not to the unbelievers. They are to the church. They're to us, to tell us how to act, that we're called to love one another, serve with and for each other, for the betterment and the building up of the kingdom. And if everybody doesn't do their job, but there's, you know, well, this guy thinks he should be doing that, or I should get more solos on Sunday, or Pastor Matt should let me preach because I got skills, then, you know, then we're not doing what we're called to do. We're limping when we should be soaring in God's power. And then this other part of that is in proportion to the faith that we have. Now, this is the limiting portion of how we can serve, is that if we're not operating in the faith that He's given us, then we're going to limit God. You know, the way faith works is that you trust Him, you believe that something's going to happen. It happens, you give God the glory, and then the next thing happens. So you know, things happen. And the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. So these challenges that we faced over the last couple of years, they're opportunities for growth. They're opportunities to see God move. I've seen God move so much. I'll tell you a story that's real personal to me. And you know, I have two children. And my son and my daughter, and growing up, half of their life, I lived out there in the world and was a knucklehead. And when they got to be 12 years old, I got saved, and they lived with me. I was a single dad, and at that point, my life changed, and theirs did too. We had a whole lot more rules in the house. We were doing things. We were going to church. I was a youth leader a couple of years after that, and I knew that they couldn't learn about the Lord under me because they had seen the old guy too much to hear. So I put them in another youth group of a friend of mine that was a really good youth pastor. And they both had accepted the Lord. Now we'll fast forward a number of years. Now they went and lived their lives. And like most kids do, they kind of walk away a little bit. Church isn't that important. They're beginning their families. Career is important. But both of my kids I know accepted the Lord and had the Lord in their life. Last October, my daughter got sick. And I flew down to talk to her, and it was very quick, and she was diagnosed with cancer. Within 6 weeks, she passed away. Now, but it's sad, but here's the part that's really something special, is that my daughter, who I kid around a lot about her, is that she was like a drama queen a lot. She was everybody's, down south she lives, and she's in everybody's business, everybody's in her business. And she's always just excited about this. I can't believe this person did that. When the doctor said, I was sitting there with her, when the doctor says, you have cancer, and it's really aggressive, and it's all over you. And he said, we're going to start chemo tomorrow.
you know, but we don't know which way it's going to go. And she says, well, and here's the girl with a lot of drama and crisis in life. She goes, well, God's really in control, and I appreciate what you're saying, but either God will heal me or he'll take me home, but either way, I'm okay. Those last 8 weeks of her life, there was a different person there. She showed God's love and God's peace. She, you know, she, it was amazing to see how the Spirit had filled her. She let that faith that was planted there, and it grew at the right moment. And even with her kids, she has a 20-year-old daughter and an 18-year-old son, and my grandkids. And she planned her own funeral. She went out. She had a nice. They had a nice Thanksgiving dinner. She just was not going to have any boo-has, no crying, no none of that. She said, "Listen, y'all got to." She said it this way: "Y'all got to figure it out from here." She says, "I'm going to chill," you know, and that's the way she left. You know, and she cared for everybody else just like she always did as a child. But that's what God does. He gives us that faith, and we're called to grow it. Now, you could either take a situation like that and let it tear you down and say, why did God do this? Or you could look at that part of it and say, look what God did. Look what God did. My granddaughter, immediately after that, when they gave her all her belongings from the hospital, I had given my my daughter my Bible. The one I took on mission trips, and I had marked a whole bunch of scriptures in there for her to read while she was in the hospital, and she'd read them all. And my granddaughter had the Bible now, and she says, I got that Bible from Mom, and if it's okay, I'll keep it. And she says, but only if you send me some more scriptures to read. Now my granddaughter is chasing after the Lord a little bit because she saw what happened with her mom. You know what I mean? So each one of us are given a certain amount of faith, and we're called to use it. But it starts with the proportion. Use what you got, and he'll give you more. That's the easiest way to say it. In number 8, it says, he who exhorts, do in exhortation. He who gives, give with liberality. He who leads, do with diligence and mercy and cheerfulness. So this says two things. Do what you're called to do. You know, do what you've been anointed to do. There are times where, you know, you could feel like this is really hard. And sometimes that's the way it's supposed to be. And you're still called to do it. And sometimes the really hard means maybe you're doing something you're not supposed to do. And only prayer and the guidance of those who God has put in your life is going to help you figure out which answer that is. Because sometimes ministry is hard because it's supposed to be because we're going to grow. And sometimes ministry is hard because we're doing something we're not supposed to be. We've projected ourselves where we're not supposed to be. And only the Holy Spirit can help you figure that out. And through the people he's put in your life, his word. And when you wake up in the morning, that spirit will talk to you. But here's the word that I really wanted to key in on. Do it diligently. That is a lost word right now. I have my wife and I became foster parents. And we have this 15-year-old at home who was the cutest little kid. And now he's a 15-year-old at home. You know, he has some special needs. And I'm really pleased to find out he is a 15-year-old. He has that 15-year-old toot going on, and diligent isn't part of his vocabulary. If it's really, really hard, it's so hard. I'm like, dude, it's supposed to be hard. I mean, his neck hurt. Oh, I'm like, you feel like somebody's stabbing you. It's English. I mean, nobody died from English homework, you know. Diligence. We have to press through because you know what? The things that are hard are the things that you can look back and say, whoa. Look what God did. Or look what God allowed me to do. Look how God used me here. You know, I've been matched 3 times in my time at youth mentoring. And one of them was for a 15-year-old kid who never accepted the Lord. But he punched everybody he ever met in the face. He was the punch in the face kid. I mean, and I was thinking, why did I get matched with a punch in the face kid? Because I was big and he wouldn't punch me in the face. That was the story that I got told later on. But he never accepted the Lord. But I lived my life in front of him. But he's also not in jail or dead, and he was surely headed for one of those two places. The second kid accepted the Lord and moved to Florida and did pretty good. And the third kid was matched to me. His family was saved, so he accepted the Lord, and then he walked away for a little while. You know, and you could look at those things, and you could try to measure him by the world standards and say, you know, I failed or I didn't fail. You know, and with him, you know, I always felt like he heard it, and he went off. And, you know, kids at a certain point are going to go out and do their own thing. And Ron Canole says that about 16 years old, kids leave the planet and go insane. And then when they're like 20-something, they come back. And the Bible puts it in a better way. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they get older, they will not depart from it. Now, I would probably say they will return to it in a lot of cases. Because sometimes they're not apart from it, but they ain't walking that way. So the last guy was really great, and he went out and made some tough decisions, and he had a girlfriend, and they had a son, and he wasn't walking with the Lord. And then one day, and Kathy knows the family pretty well. Kathy tells me he's going to get married now, and he's come back to the church, and I got a phone call. He wanted me to be the best man at his wedding, and I got to go up there and stand next to him as he, you know, got married to his girlfriend, the mother of his baby, and they dedicated their son to the Lord that day. And you know, that's what it looks like. But I always knew it was successful because I did what God called me to do. But every now and then, he just shows you something really cool. And that's what it's like, you know. But that's where diligence is. We have to go through it. We have to put in the work. We have to show up. You know, and even sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it doesn't look like the people are connecting. There was this one match where these two kids, and this mentor and this kid, neither one of them talked at all, ever. Like, I had the interview with the both of them, and I had a hard time getting answers to any of the questions. I mean, when I say they didn't talk to each other or anybody else. So I said, hey, put them together. You know, I go by where the Lord leads me. Sometimes it's better to put a talkative person with a quiet person. There's no rhyme or reason to it. I just do what the Lord. So I put these two together, and the two of them would go out, and they would go to, back in the day, it was Barnes & Noble. They would have a hot chocolate or a cup of coffee. They'd pick out a book. They'd sit across from one another, not talk, and read. And every now and then he'd go, the other guy would go, and then he would go. And that was the extent of their conversation. At trips and events, we'd begin to notice that they would, like, move in unison. You ever see dolphins move where they just kind of... So the mentor and the mentee are, like, moving without speaking to one another. And then there's this one picture at the game farm right out here where the two of them are laying on the lounge chairs. The kid has his pants hiked up in the same uncomfortable, awkward way that the mentor did. He's wearing the same glasses, and they have the same haircut. You know, and they stayed together for like 6 years, you know, and that kid knew how much he was loved, and the man didn't speak a lot. You just live your life around somebody, bring the Holy Spirit into their presence. But he was diligent in whatever that looked like for him. So we never really know. You know, in Luke 12, it says, blessed are those whose servants who, when master comes, he will find them watching. Assuredly, I would say, will gird themselves, sit down, and he will come and serve them. You know, we're called to serve while we wait for the Lord to come back, or while we wait for him to come. We get to serve. That's the really thing. Kathy and I both agree really strongly that this is such a privilege. She's a crier, and if you've ever prayed with her, you'll know that already. But I get choked up when I think about God lets me do this. I remember when I first got matched, I said, he trusts me with one of his little ones, how precious they are to him. He trusts me. You know, we get to serve. So that should give us some cheerfulness. We should say, I get to serve God. It's not, you know, I wasn't always excited to drive out, you know, because one of my matches was further away because it was a special thing, drive 40 minutes to his house. I wasn't, but I was never sad that I did. I always knew, oh, this is what God called me to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be blessed by it. Now, before I switch over to the youth mentoring commercial, I wanted to share with you classic car show nearby. Some reasons that we don't serve. Okay, some of the reasons that we're afraid to fail. So you're not, I'll tell you real quickly, we shouldn't be afraid to fail if we believe that he's the one that does the work. Because it's not me. You know, not too long ago, about a year or two ago, somebody said, listen, I want you to go to the hospital. I'm okay with people that are really, how do you put this, really not saved. Belligerent. They do not like the Lord and the Lord's people. And this was that guy. He is the brother of one of the people from my old church. And she says, listen, my brother is going to go home to somewhere this weekend. He's going to pass away. It's going to happen this weekend. And I need somebody to share the gospel with him. And I said, okay, I'll do that. He said, but he's going to scream and curse at you. I said, oh, okay. I wasn't that excited about it anymore. From the moment I walked in this room, this guy said, get out of here. I said, listen, I'm going to stand here as long as I need to because I promised your sister I would share this with you. So you can be quiet for a minute or two. Let me say what I want and then kick me out. Or we could just stand here while you continue to yell at me. So he let me speak for like 2 minutes and then he cursed me out of there. You know, I don't know how that worked out. I know I did what God called me to do. I believe that, you know, that was the moment. I mean, he went home to be with the Lord about 12 hours later. Went home to be with the Lord or not. But that was his choice. But I know that he heard the truth. I shared with him that Jesus died for him. I shared with him, regardless of what he did, that God is still waiting on the other side of the field for him with his arms open, saying, come. I don't care what you did. I just want you back. Because that's what he said to me on March 21st, 1993. I don't care what you did, Vince. I just want you back. And he held me, and he hasn't let go since. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's just doing what God has called us to do. So sometimes we're afraid to fail. Sometimes we feel like we don't have the gifts. I can't tell you how many people said to me, I'm not good with kids. You don't have to be. You know, we'll teach you everything you need to know, and God will give you the skills. If he's called you to do this, he's going to give you the skills. I am not good at any of the things I do right now. He's given me the gifts to do what he's called me to do, which is the important part. Sometimes we think the problems are too big. You know, in the world today, the challenges facing young people, I can't even get ahead of them because they're just constant. There's violence, there's drugs, there's bad parenting or no parents at all. You know, it's okay to say my kid's too hard and drop them off at Little Flower. You know, which is that, you know, there's like 100 kids there and 3/4 of them have been dropped off there. They're not mandated by CPS. The parents said, I can't handle it anymore, and they drop them off at Little Flower. So, but the problems are not too big for the Lord. He will give us the answers that we need. And the other one, especially us being New Yorkers, we don't have time to do his work. And I will tell you that, you know, we will make time for what we feel is important. And if the Lord impresses on your heart that he wants to use you in a mighty way, I'd say make time for that. Because that will help you grow in every other way. And like I said before, you take care of his business, he'll take care of yours. You will somehow get more done in less time. You'll make more money with less effort. You will have better relationships. It'll just happen. If you just take care of his business, he'll take care of yours. So in a second, I'm going to talk to you about youth mentoring and tell you that, you know, go back to the beginning of this message, is that it is our reasonable service. The first verse in here says, we're called to give our lives as a living sacrifice. It is our reasonable service. And I would put it another way. It's the least we can do. Mentoring a kid, cleaning the church. I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. Mentoring might be it. Cleaning the church might be it. Volunteering here another way, or that might be it. But I know that you're supposed to do something. I know that God wants you. We are all called to serve. At Long Island Youth Mentoring, what we do is we recruit and train and screen Christian adults to meet with kids on a weekly basis. We have kids that live near you. You know, right now I have a list here, and we have 107 kids on the waiting list, and that's a low number for us because a month ago, every May, I purge the list, which means I go through the list and I call everybody. And if they don't call me back or their phone is disconnected and they don't respond to a letter, I take them off our list. So 37 kids that were on our list will never get matched. You know, and they may show up again another day and come back on our list again, but that's how it goes. At any given point, this number will be 150 by probably September or October. And we'll make 50 or 60 matches in a year, but we'll have 75 new kids. The kids, it's just, the world is a tough place to be a kid right now. So we match Christian adults, people that know the Lord loves them and wants to share that love with somebody else. And they meet with a kid once a week, 2 to 4 hours. Pretty simple. Some of the kids are so hurt and so hopeless that they don't even want to match with us. They all have to say they want a mentor, but even after they do, they have a hard time letting us in. I'm going to tell you a story about one particular kid. His name is Adam. He's okay with me using his name. I just met him not too long ago. And Adam was a kid who lived with his mom all the way, you know, by near Queens, but not in Queens. And his dad had all kinds of problems. They got smacked around by the Sandy and had to move out and lived in a motel for a while and lost all their stuff. His pet died. His relationship with his dad was bad. Everybody at school picked on him. He was just hurt. And everybody that said they were going to help this kid started to help him and bailed on him. And so he was not quick to let somebody into his life. right? So I matched him to a man named Rohan, and about 3 months into the relationship, we're on a fishing trip. So every month we have an event, and we invite you guys to it. And so I'm sitting on the rail fishing, and Rohan and Adam are sitting behind me, and I hear this spitting sound. And I'm thinking, oh, I hope what I think happened didn't happen. You know, the kid spit in the mentor's face. And I'm telling you, this is the anointing, because Rohan is a Trinidadian man who, and if you know Trinidadian people, they're either really laid back or they're really strict, and he's a little bit of both. You know, so I was thinking, okay, let's see how Ro's going to handle this one. You know, so I just waited, and I turned around, and Ro says, can you sit with Adam for a minute? I got to go inside. So he goes inside, he washes his face, comes out a paper towel, and he came out, and I was wanted to sit there for a second and see, and he says, I'm good. I said, okay. So I went back to fishing, but I'm like a foot away because I got to hear what's going on now. You know, and Ro says to him, we're friends, right? And he goes, yeah, I guess we're friends. So I just wanted to tell you that that's not how friends treat each other. That's, you know. And he says, I want to tell you something else. There's nothing that you can do that will make me stop caring about you. So he read that situation as a boy that was afraid of relationships because everybody's let him down. At that moment, their relationship completely changed. I'm going to show you a video of what it looks like now. I think I'm going to step out of the way, though. All right.
Well, it's definitely been a great experience for me. I have learned a lot from him as well. You know, just learning what it's like to be in his shoes as a teenager. He's had so much. I mean, there are very few people that have struggled and have difficulties the way he has. And
especially at my age, not to sound narcissistic, I mean, it's just rare to see what I've been through. I've had to move in and out of my house, deal with natural disasters, watching my cat die, having my father pass away. I really just needed someone to look up to. And I still see Ro as like one of my main people that I can go to talk to, or someone that I can truly see as a friend. Talking to someone that you have a genuine connection with, that is the most wholehearted thing you can do to help your self-esteem. And that's what helps me. My mom thought, oh, he just needs to get his problems out. No, I needed someone to listen and help me get through it and be there for me. I know a therapist, that's their job. I wanted it to be meaningful, since they didn't have to, but they wanted to. It made me feel like I'm wanted, I'm appreciated, that someone's looking out for me. You know, someone actually wants the best for me.
Yeah, I watch this video like 100 times. I still get choked up when I see it. I just met with him 2 weeks ago, and Adam's graduating high school and going to college in New Haven. And I asked him, what are you guys going to do? He says, well, I'm going to come home every at least once a month so I can help my mom do some things, but mainly to see Rohan. And they'll be forever. Now, we're not asking you for a forever relationship. I want to say that. We're asking you to pray about being a mentor for 2 to 4 hours a week for a year. At the end of the year, we're going to ask you if you want to continue, and ask the kid if they want you to continue. And I will tell you that God wants to use some of you. Right, guys, I want to talk to you for a second. The number of boys is 5 times more. We have like 81 boys out of the 107. So I think there's 26 girls. There's a lot. We have like 25 kids within 15 miles of this building. If you're a man, I have somebody that lives near you that just wants somebody that cares for them. And we'll be outside, Kathy and I, and you can talk to Kelly or Rob or Carlos if he's here later, and just ask him about it. But fill out the paper and leave it with me. And doesn't mean you're locked in, just means we're going to talk later. Or you can go to the liym.org and respond right now. For those of you that can't mentor, we have a mini golf fundraiser, and people say, you're going to raise money playing mini golf? It's really just a way for us to say, we need financial support as well. And if you want to support us in the mini golf fundraiser, Kathy will be outside with a sponsor sheet, and we'll give you a little card where you can go online. But I really want you to pray about being a mentor, because there are kids out there that need you. And I believe that God is calling some of you to do this. And there is no more blessed place than doing what God's called you to do and knowing you're doing it. So I'm going to pray, and I thank you so much for your time. Lord, We thank you for this day. I thank you for this family of believers. I thank you that you are already doing amazing things through them, but you want them to do all kinds of things that maybe they don't expect or maybe they're not sure about, but give them the peace to step in a direction, whether it's serving here at the church, serving with a kid, Lord, but let them know what a blessed place it is to be about your business and know that they are. So we thank you for your word that changes us and help us to give our lives as living sacrifice. Help us to do it diligently. Help us to not be transformed by the world, but be conformed to you, Lord. So we thank you so much for blessing us today. We thank you so much for calling us to your service. And we thank you so much for dying for us, Lord. We don't deserve it, but you did it because you love us. And we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Good job.
Well, what an incredible testimony and an encouragement from Vince, and we're so thankful for him. We're so thankful for this ministry, and our church partners with many different ministries. This is one that is very special to my heart, and I'm sure many of you were sitting in the room thinking how awesome it would have been if you had had this when you were younger, right? But now you have the opportunity to go and be a part of doing this for another kid who's in need, another kid who needs a mentor and a good and godly influence in their life. And I remember being at the banquet. Kelly and Vincent were there, and Kathy and her granddaughter and many others. They have an annual banquet where they auction off and have dinner and get to share the testimonies of these kids who have been mentored in the program. And I just remember weeping hearing these stories. And there's so many ways that we get to serve this ministry. So many of you are already a part of serving this ministry. So many of you will be after today. I'm just believing that in faith. But one of the ways that we get to do that is just by financially supporting that ministry. And you know how that happens? Any guesses? The money doesn't just drop from the sky. It's because of your faithful obedience to Jesus and your submission to Jesus and giving to the furtherance of his kingdom and to the building of his church and to the spreading of his word. And we get to take a percentage of what you give to that to share and bless this ministry and to support what they're doing, their mission here on Long Island. And so that's a part of our local missions. And so we're thankful for how the Lord is leading you in your giving and in your generosity. And we're thankful for the opportunity that we get to use those resources that you share to bless these ministries and our local community. And so allow the Spirit to lead you in your giving today as we just worship him through generosity. Let's have our ushers go ahead and receive our tithes and offerings at this time. If you placed your faith in Jesus today for the first time, make sure to let us know on the back of your communication cards as you drop those in the basket as well. We'll be sure to send you some resources. Thank you for those of you watching online with us today. I pray that you were encouraged and blessed by today's service. And you can also give online by texting GIVE to the number that's on the screen. We're so thankful that you were here today. We do have fellowship out in the tent. If you followed the ramp out back, there's a big tent that'll have donuts and bagels and coffee and juices and yogurts and all kinds of stuff. And most of all, we'll have each other there. And so why don't you come and join us for some food, sit around the table together. Let's just enjoy each other's company until the next service. Let's stand together and have our benediction. And at South Bay, this is our sending off prayer. And so if you're comfortable, let's just put our hands out in a posture of receiving from the Lord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your church. We thank you for who you are, what you've done, that you've redeemed us and bought us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather on this beautiful morning together in this church. And to worship with our brothers and sisters and friends and strangers, Lord. I pray that none of us walk out the way that we came in, but that all of us walk out better than we came in. And Lord, for every person under the sound of my voice, whether here in person or online today, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them, that you would shine your face on them, Lord, that you would give them your peace. So now in the knowledge of your word and in the power of your spirit, send us out, Lord, and bring us back together at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. Amen. You may go in peace.